3, 2, 1.
Welcome to HVAC Success Secrets Revealed, a show where we interview industry leaders and disruptors, revealing the success secrets to create and unleash the ultimate HVAC business. Now your hosts, Thaddeus and Evan.
Hey, what's going on? We are here at True Grit in Memphis, Tennessee, having a blast. And I managed to grab a legend in the marketing space for the home services companies. She's crushed it. Brianna Skiffington. She's been on the show before, but she's had a change in careers slightly.
Yes.
And I definitely wanted to bring her on so we could chat some more about marketing, pick her brain about what's happening in the trades right now, how companies can really stand out in what's going to be a crazy year. We've got an election coming up. We've got crazy times in the economy, uncertainty in the economy. So how trades companies can really leverage their messaging and be able to stand out in a crazy market right now. And then on top of all of that, we got CXC that she is also a part of, which is launching.
Today's the day.
Today
we are live.
So we'll get into that a little bit. What is call by call management? We can talk about that again, the AI version of it that you guys are running, which is epic. And then, of course, she's also the owner of DataCube as well. So dabbling in a little bit of everything.
Everything.
All right. Awesome. So, yeah, let's just dive right in.
Let's go.
The economy right now, crazy times. We just had Super Tuesday yesterday. Uncertainty in the economy, uncertainty with elections. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
How can home service companies right now start to change up their messaging and what's going to be a more expensive year to advertise as it is with every election?
Yeah, for sure. Look, it's been crazy. February was nuts. The stats that I've been hearing about are just like insane with like financing and declines and all that stuff. Second looks aren't even successful anymore. I think it's really important to lean into like as much as you can as far as your offers and your messaging and your marketing, obviously. But what we're seeing is like the buyback programs are going to be a really big thing. Anything that you can do to alleviate the financial stress of some of these bigger things that were these bigger financial decisions, obviously. And the government rebates, if there's anything that you do and install that can have any of those apply, obviously you really have to lean into the marketing of that. Make it as inexpensive as possible to get in the door for people. And you really have to nurture every lead. That's one of the biggest misses I see, obviously, as a marketer, is it's so frustrating to be in charge of the marketing budget, deliver the leads at a great cost, and then but it took 3 hours to follow up. They only hit them up one time. Like, oh my gosh. So really now is the time to hunker down and make sure you're actually like squeezing the shit out of every lead you got and call them 3 times within 5 minutes. Be persistent, be frequent, really make the most out of all of them. And you'll get your business that way and be efficient. So
I love it.
You can survive.
It was interesting. I was talking with Amanda, business partner of yours with CXC, about what's happening in her office.
Yep.
And Dylan is running his own call center now.
Yep.
And their after-hours booking went from 41% to 89%.
It's insane.
And the ability now to save on marketing because you don't need to spend as much when you're booking that many calls.
I don't know how many secrets we'll reveal, but it is HVAC Success Secrets Real. So yes, that is a huge thing. We're actually able to change their whole ad schedule, be able to capture leads that typically people don't want to be advertising overnight because it's like, oh, it's going to a shitty-ass call center that's a third party. No, they're actually building their own third-party call center that's like their training with their team with Dylan, a bunch of little dilly-dillies is what they're calling their team. So they're all like using its processes and booking like crazy. So now you can get leads for half the cost overnight and actually know that they're being booked. Like in one day, I think they're usually booking like one call on the overnights. I think they booked 10 like their first night, and like one of the jobs turned into a $40,000 job that week. And we're like, oh shit, pretty cool.
That's amazing.
That'll help your marketing numbers for sure.
Now on the marketing side of that, because obviously when there's less competitors bidding for those keywords on Google Ads, right? It's going to cost less. So those companies are able to leverage that. She's able to leverage that, bring your cost per lead down.
Precisely. Yep. So that makes the marketers very happy when you have those additional resources, right? And the great processes and training that your leads will convert. They'll be followed up with. Like you can have a lead aggregator lead coming at 3 a.m. or a social media lead coming at 3 a.m. that you would typically not be answered till 7 a.m. the next day. Nope, they're calling them right then. They're ready to go. They're texting or whatever.
Right.
Whatever's legal. So they're closing them. It's awesome. Love to see it.
As a business owner, it can be difficult to listen to your marketer in terms of how I can get better at operations.
Yeah.
How can we get better as a marketing company in communicating that to them?
Sure.
And then as a business owner, being more receptive to feedback when that isn't necessarily their expertise.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Look, it's always a tough like conversation with your marketer. And as a marketer, when you bring up those operational issues, sometimes it's met with a little bit of, oh, mind your business. Worry about my marketing. Fix that. That's what's broken. But
I just need more leads.
Yeah, exactly. I need more leads to fuck up. And then my close rate will be, my odds will be better that some of them will close. So look, there's going to always be some of that. But I find that myself, especially not like I can mention the KPIs that I know and the benchmarks that I know they should be hitting. But at the end of the day, I'm not a sales trainer. So I'm not the one who's going to be going in there and like making the recommendations like tactfully or tactically, but I can tell you what I see is broken. But I think it's really important, and it's fitting that we're here at TrueRate, is like partnering with like coaches who have that authority and experience to be able to fix those operational issues and help you with that. Like that only makes marketers like so much better and makes the partnership better. And it's like Amanda and I work together great because obviously like I'm doing her marketing and Joe is helping with her operations and her sales training. So holy shit, it's the dream team. Like everybody's able to work together and understand who's accountable for what, where in the process things are able to be tuned and optimized, where in the process, it's, oh, that's great. We need to keep doing more of that, get more of that because we're really good at it. So it builds like that kind of communication, like really builds like ultimately better results for the company when you're able to be transparent, collaborative like that. So it's hard. It's hard stepping outside of your role. And I find that most business owners are receptive to stuff that are like valid, but don't throw excuses out there as to why your marketing sucks. If you can pinpoint issues and help them solve them, and approach it from that perspective, it's you both have the shared interest of them doing better.
Right.
It's not like an excuse or attack. It's, hey, how do we fix this? I want to see you win.
And I think that's the part that from a marketing perspective, as long as we're coming at it from, we care about you. This is a partnership. I don't just want to be another vendor. I'm not just trying to sell you shit. I'm not trying to increase your spend. I'm trying to decrease it.
Right. It's trying to get you more revenue. Yeah.
Right? More revenue and more profit.
I feel like they don't know. Or they don't like, it doesn't register. Like we look better when you do better. We know that. Like there's nothing in this. I just want you to do really well. So you stay with me.
Right.
It's not. I like that.
Leveraging the data to be able to make those decisions. Because obviously as someone who works with a bunch of companies, you're able to see outliers that are outperforming what it is that's working, or on the opposite side, completely underperforming. But you're able to provide that feedback when you're looking at the data. What data sets are you looking at so you can provide that information back to clients and give them the best opportunity to make decisions to get better?
I've been leaning into Service Titan's new Marketing Pro dashboard a lot. Like I really, if you dive in there and go through it, previously was working with like more of a proprietary, like third party rig together kind of stuff. But this one is actually like really cool and integrated. I love how close it is to your operational data. So I think just like jumping into that is I can jump in anytime and see like what the booking rate is, look at how many calls are excused. And sometimes you want to spot check those as well, just to make sure, okay, was it a lead or was it not? Let's talk about that. Listen, somebody who's looking for the service, obviously it's my job as a marketer to make sure that we're only advertising the services that you offer in the service area that you provide services to. Anybody who is interested in procuring your services. Now, if they don't want to pursue the actual appointment because of your service fee or because it wasn't properly informed on the call, like the value of us coming out and doing a diagnostic instead of giving you something like spitballing a solution over the phone, that's not excused.
Yeah, I've always said it's, do you provide the service?
Right.
And is it in the area you provide it?
Yep, exactly.
That's qualified.
I would agree.
Awesome. Sorry to interrupt. Back to the data sets.
Yep.
How can we leverage that? What data sets do we need to look at?
So I look at that. Obviously, average ticket's huge, right? It's like, I was just having this conversation with somebody in there. I remember there was a time when I had two clients offering the same service. They were in separate areas. So of course their costs are going to vary a little bit, but the average ticket for one was like $1,200, whereas the average ticket for the other was like $400. Now, if they both have a $200 cost per acquisition, one has a 2 ROAS and one has a 6 ROAS. So one loves me and one hates me. But the average ticket is still a huge factor in that they could have the exact same cost per lead or the exact same cost per opportunity. But at the end of the day, if it does take that operational data and that kind of like communication, and it's not like a blame game, but it's, yo, dude, like I have people in your industry having $1,200 average tickets, you have a $400 average ticket. That's why you hate me. That's why you think your marketing's broken, because you got to be able to sell it. That's how you convert it too. So it takes, I think, a lot of different angles of looking through your Service Titan data. Like starts with booking rate. Obviously, you want to make sure you're converting the leads. The average ticket, I think, is really important. Close rate, obviously, as well. $0 tickets too. I think obviously you're going to have to take some of those on the chin as like a business owner and marketer. There's going to be some loss leaders. And I think like to Amanda's presentation too, as long as you're going through the process, you're going to have some of those. You just got to focus on informing and educating in the home is her big thing, right? Is like you with CXE, I'm learning even more about it, is you're going to be in there for an hour, right? Having a whole conversation. And once you, as long as you're following the processes, right? Like you're going to see the numbers show themselves.
How much with the booking rates do you look at per job type? Because I'm curious on that, on the, when you're comparing the ROAS difference,
when
you're looking at different job types for average ticket.
Sure.
That's one thing.
For sure.
But then if we're able to book more jobs, then technically the ROAS will get impacted differently on that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, it's an important factor, but to be honest, it's one that I typically just look at as a whole as like a business health check. What I'm typically looking at is like in the ad dashboards, you're able to see, once you have that server site integration, you're able to see the revenue by campaign, which is effectively like job type in a sense, as you can go through and see what ad group generated whatever job. So obviously ROAS is huge, but to your point, it's like all of these little things do impact ROAS. I, as a marketer, try to hold myself to the other end, and it's more like you'll hop in and diagnose or spot check the issues on the front end. But job type data I like to look at for keyword ideas and things like that. And obviously, if you look into what job type has the highest average ticket, that's a great way to lean in and allow more budget, obviously, towards whatever ad groups contain those keywords, campaigns contain those ad groups, contain those keywords, and then you're able to like optimize off that business data as well. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't have that service site integration to push your revenue into your ad platforms, you're still able to get some ideas for, hey, this is a great job type with a high average ticket. Like maybe we run an offer on that. Like I had one client who was like killing it like nonstop on like with their plumbing campaigns. They had like gas leaks. Mm-hmm. That was like the number one like performer. And it's like almost counterintuitive as a marketer. Like you would never like, it's more like you're always doing drain cleanings or like sewer stuff. But like the gas leak, that was like really poppins. Like maybe there was like an issue in that neighborhood with the construction and whatever. But like it turned out to be like a big moneymaker for them. So I love to look into that stuff and look for opportunities more so from that.
I always love when we're able to be proven wrong in our assumptions by data, because I would rather be right and prosper.
Yes. Or you're wrong and prosper
wrong
too.
And prosper by admitting when I'm wrong
for sure.
And rely on the data to make that decision.
For sure. I feel like it's also like easier as a marketer to be credible when you're just like, people aren't judging you on how right you are. They're judging you on how like open you are to being wrong too. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. Let's look at it. I don't just answer everything intuitively. Sometimes it's, let's like look at it together and figure it out. I know you don't pay me to know everything because I can't know everything, but maybe to at least look for it and find the right answer and tell you the truth and be objective. It's my perspective on it.
I love it. No, the thing that I've become fascinated with, the ability to track the keywords and the campaigns and everything, mm-hmm. and then revenue attribute, because before we had this data, customer comes into ServiceTitan, we serviced them 8 years ago, it's a repeat customer, chalk it up to repeat customer.
Oh yeah.
Must have come from a branded campaign, because nobody ever doesn't call us for our brand that we worked with in the past. Now we're able to see that data, how many customers we're able to bring back to the business because they searched up AC repair or whatever the service was, gas leak, and now they come back to the business 8 years later, 10 years later.
Yeah.
And you serviced them in the past, but hey, there's a missed opportunity there because
they forgot about you. And you can actually, that's a cool note. I love that you bring that up, because there you can do campaigns just for that. You know what I mean? Like you can target like your historical customer list, but with non-brand keywords and push just for that. You might want to bid higher for them, like rather than bidding higher for new customers, bid higher for old customers who aren't searching my brand, right? That's super cool. I love that you bring that up.
Well, and they're familiar with the brand,
right?
And that's one of the things that, I mean, Thaddeus and I both used to do magazines in the past. And so it was a big branding play.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to generate a ton of leads that you can quantifiably
track
through that, because nobody calls the phone number that's in the newspaper ad.
Right.
They're going to look at the brand. Like, they're not even going to go to the website.
Barely. Yeah, exactly. They're going
to
Google it.
Brand. And so Google gets all the credit when it comes to those types of searches.
Yeah.
And so I love that point, because the thing that we always sold was people will recognize your brand.
Yep.
So even when they search AC repair, because you get in front of them in the magazine for the last year, as soon as they see your name, even if you're number three, there's a different feeling that they have about the brand name.
Yep. Exactly.
So I love that idea.
Yeah, dude, for sure. It was your idea. You brought it up. No, that's cool.
That's really neat. All this kind of ties back into what you're doing now. You parted ways with Ad Leverage and decided to start Free Agency. What is it? How are you separating yourselves in the market? Because what you're doing is very unique and I absolutely love it.
Aw, thank you. I think it's cool. Look, it's really the same thing that I was doing before, in that it's like that CMO role. But the advantage now is I'm not stuck with only recommending one agency. Find the best performer. And like you and I were talking about this the other day, like find the best performer in every channel, and that's who I can work with. And I can, well, maybe that is them or somebody else or whoever. The point is, as a free agent, I can be completely objective about that, right? And I can look at the data purely. And as long as it's a vendor that I've vetted and have a relationship with and that I know they're a great performer. They'll know I'm objective and it's very clear and it's very transparent. And that's looked like there's no commission fees. There's no referral fees. Like I'm a free agent. I just want to do really good for my clients. I want to make sure they love me because I objectively look out for their results. Right. You know that too. So you're going to do a good job. You're going to fight for it on your end. And then obviously there's a few other things that like I make sure that all are, you know, complying with essentially, or that we have the same shared principles, which is month to month is really important to me because it's, look, there's going to be things that are like, oh, but some people want to prorate the cost of their website for a year instead of pay it all up front. So obviously it's not renting a website for a year. It's whatever. They want to pay it off and it's okay. But if you give them the option to, is this, would you still do month to month? Yes, we do month. Okay, cool. I'm good with that. That's really important to me because I feel like you have to have that flexibility to be able to pivot and jump around when you right. need to. If you have to, look, the goal is never to have a short-term relationship with anybody, but if it's not working out, you shouldn't be stuck in a contract. I was just talking to somebody inside who was like stuck in like a year contract, also leasing their website from some other vendor who has 100 clients per person or like some bullshit. So that's one of them. The other is you have to be able to own your accounts. That's really important to me as well. So I'm working with those kinds of vendors and it just allows me to be able to be flexible, fluid and jump and pivot and do what we got to do to hit your goals, right? Really, it's still that CMO role where it's like, hey, you're going to tell me your goal. I'm going to validate it with your data and my benchmarks. We're going to come up with together what we think it's going to take to hit that goal. And leave it to me. I'll make sure you hit it. Like I'm going to use these 10 vendors. And when one's not doing their job, I'm going to switch to somebody else, do whatever we have to. If one's not performing, I'll jump in the ad account myself and show them how to make it perform. We do what we got to do here, but we're going to hit your goal. We're going to do it with the budget that we discussed. And that's really it. And as long as I have the freedom and flexibility and you have the freedom and flexibility to jump around and make that happen, we make it happen. Yeah, that's cool.
It's earning the right to continue to work together.
Exactly. Right? And I'm month to month too. I'm a subscription. Cancel anytime. We don't even have to talk. You just fucking turn that shit off online, right?
I love it. That's great. Yeah. And again, owning your accounts. We've been screaming that from the mountaintop since we started the business.
You're one of the good guys. Yeah. I know.
I mean,
I know it.
It seems so basic and yet it isn't. It's still something that business owners are struggling with. And whether it's owning their website, their domain. We just took over a client, didn't own a thing. They didn't own their GMB. They didn't own their domain. They did not even their GMB. Now they managed to get it all back.
Okay.
So that was great.
Yeah.
And we took ownership of it for a minute so that we could just help them get everything.
Transition.
And then we transferred all right to them because we don't want to own their stuff. Even had another client, we felt really uncomfortable. They had their marketing manager own their Facebook page. She ended up losing her job. So then we were the only one owning the Facebook page. We're like, this doesn't feel good.
No,
Can we give this to please?
Right. I feel the same way. This is yours. I want to guard it for you, but like, I don't want to be responsible for it alone. Like, I don't want you to ever like be like, well, they're the only ones with access. They kept it. Like,
right. Yeah. No, so not cool with that.
Yeah.
And then CXE.
CXE.
Big launch. So call by call management, I guess, is like a quick 30-second review on that.
Yeah.
So that people know exactly what that is.
Yep.
And then the unique, crazy twist that you put on it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So call by call is like essentially the process of the technician calling into the office to talk to a call by call manager to say, hey, I was just in Mrs. Smith's house, looked at her system. This is what I think is going on. She isn't trying to do anything today other than like the bare minimum to get it working up and running today. She doesn't want to discuss like the long-term implications of whatever it is. She doesn't want any upgrades, whatever. Call by call manager is okay, that's fine and good and whatever. We have an opportunity here. Why don't you throw an air scrubber on the present. That's regular call by call, is having those conversations and understanding like what happened. But you don't have, it's really just up to the tech to relay within 5 minutes what happened inside the home.
Right.
This is actually flipping it to where we're recording the whole thing. The tech is able to review it after the fact and get instant recommendations without having to call into somebody. They still can, and they have a whole dashboard for those people. But like at the end of the day, you have your call by call guidance like managed within 2 minutes of ending that conversation with the customer. So then you're able to just plug it in and go, right? Make that recommendation, you're good to go. So that's, And then the other cool thing that we're doing here with Service MVP is they also have like very like standardized process of how you're supposed to present as well. So beyond just the informing and educating inside the home, how you go back and actually present the options that you came up with after that original diagnosis and conversation is, that's the other side of it too, that we're weaving into call by call as well. Now you can use Joe's processes and get scores on how you did based on whatever was discussed during the presentation as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah. When you guys launched your partnership with Joe and you said that this is going to be the route that you're going, I was like, fantastic. Like the godfather, the grandfather, call by call is coming into
Icon.
The new world.
For real. Right? And he loves it. He's embracing it. I love to see
absolutely.
It. Like, I watch his face like when he reads the response. Very gratifying to see like him see the embodiment of like his brain of AI, you know?
Yeah. I remember listening to Amanda talk about it in September of last year.
Yep.
And I was just in awe. I was floored with what it's going to do. How have you guys continued to adapt as the AI has improved? It's gotten better. You're collecting more data. Mm-hmm. You're able to come up with even more information to provide text and arm text. But the fears that people would have around it. Not sure as a customer. I don't know if I'm comfortable with people listening to my conversation as a, in some states, you've got two-sided agreements.
Yeah,
some states, you got the one side for
sure.
Recording a conversation. Obviously, in the one state side, you're okay. Two state side, you have to acknowledge it and let the customer know. Have you run into any issues with customers having objections to it?
There really hasn't been. I think one person so far in the entire beta had not understood that she was being recorded and had a comment after the fact. It's okay, look, no problem. We'll delete that. It's like any other compliance thing, or it's like you get a request to erase any kind of data, you do, it's no big deal. But for the most part, it's like everybody has to obviously, like, through the process when you onboard, like, you have to have like certain things in place to be able to comply with either the one or two party consent. Both, it's really a lot of the same. It's, we give you like the script essentially that your CSR need to say when they call in. There's something you can paste into your text messages for dispatch, and then you put on your service agreement as well. And we also host a link that you're able to put on your site to have it white labeled that has a full disclosure from our attorneys. So it's really like rich and comprehensive in that sense. But you'll also have the ability in the app to be able to say, like, this person does not agree to be recorded, whatever. So completely erases anything that we've developed from them as well, because we are also starting to analyze stuff from the original phone call too. So even before you get into the home to record, they could still say, oh, I don't want you to record me now. And it's, oh, you have to erase all recordings as well. We'll do that too. But no, we really haven't had any issues with it. I think we've been running it for like about a year anyway with Grasshopper, and there's been no one who says, don't record me, to my knowledge anyway. But I know there was the one that was like, oh, I didn't know I was being recorded, because of course now it's all over Facebook that it's a thing. So
right. Whatever.
We comply, do what you got to do. But at the end of the day, it's meant to serve the customer, right? It holds you accountable as a company, because, and for them, and it's, look, we recorded the conversation. We're not trying to ever sell you anything we didn't talk about. We're not trying to, I don't know, push anything on you or be sneaky in our wording. Everything's very for you so that you have a better experience. And we're only talking about relevant things that we discussed and what's really to make your experience better. So I don't know. We haven't run into issues with it yet, but I feel like it's pretty justified in the sense that it's like protecting the customer, protecting the company, enriching the experience altogether.
No, 100%. I agree. And I think it comes down to, what are the values of the company? What are the ethics of the company? Anytime that you give something as powerful as that to someone who is unethical, they could spin it in any way that they want. And that's the unfortunate side of it. Yeah. But it doesn't make the product itself bad. And that was the point that I wanted to make.
For
that,
sure.
Like, when I look at Amanda's company, the ethics, the values, the principles, they're all there.
Yeah.
And they do it in the most honest way possible. And they really take care of people, and they use it as a way to not only make sure they're providing the best value to customers, but also to make sure that their technicians are doing the best that they possibly can.
For sure.
And are treating their customers in the way that they want to.
Yeah.
So I think it's a fantastic thing. And it's absolutely going to change the industry.
I know. I love it. It's awesome so far. I'm so stoked to have it finally like out, because we've been doing the roadshow for like almost a year now. And we could have released it a year ago and it'd been like, but like, we would have come out with something that was like, dude, like, we built it crazy. We ran it. We tested it, ran it into the ground, came up with every angle about how the techs could hack it, you know, what could be done to like mess with it. We built it to be super scalable, stable. We're so jived. And this is honestly just the beginning. We haven't even started talking about, or like publicizing, like the Gen 2 that's coming out, 45, 60 days, probably. It's going to be
sign
a
up
whole
early.
Other thing. Yeah, sign up early. Lock in your rates now, but
yeah,
it's only going to get better. It's great.
Yeah, you were too busy building a product and not partying. So
Precisely. We invest in products, not parties.
There you go.
You know, everyone has their angle. That's ours. We'll see how it goes.
Best place for people to find both Free Agency and CXC to be able to sign up for demos, sign up for a call.
They're both .ai. So freeagency.ai or CXC.ai.
I love it.
Yeah.
Play on AI, of course.
Yeah. Both leaning into that artificial intelligence.
Yep.
Can't do it alone.
Well, and the other thing that I love as well is, and I've played around with this, is your app that you developed on GPT.
That's so cool. Oh my gosh, I love to hear it.
Yeah, so I've been playing around with the bot on there. That's totally free.
Did it expose anything for you? Did it tell you my secrets?
Okay. Absolutely, okay. All of them.
Love it. Good. Yeah. As it should. It's, look, we're trying to like take anything useful here and make it scalable.
Absolutely. And that's the power of AI, right?
It's
able to see the gaps that you can't see and to see it that much quicker and arm you with the information so that you can then perform better.
Yep.
Right.
Dude, it's been crazy.
Amazing. Thank you for hopping on.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate Glad you snagged me. It was cool.
I wish we had our two camera view so that we could be not part of it. But no, truly, thank you so much for what you're doing. I think you're really making a difference.
I appreciate it.
I said it the first time that we had a chat. I'll say it again. You really are doing an incredible job. You're trying to help people. And that's the part that matters the most. So
dude,
thank you for doing that.
I appreciate it. As are you guys. I'm honored to always get to sit down and talk to you because we're on the same mission. Wouldn't be otherwise. So it's cool.
Awesome. And until next time, cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Well, that's a wrap on another episode of HVAC Success Secrets Revealed. Before you go, two quick things. First off, join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/HVAC Revealed. The other thing, if you took one tiny bit of information out of this show, no matter how big, no matter how small, all we ask is for you to introduce this to one person in your contacts list. That's it. That's all. One person. So they too can unleash the ultimate HVAC business. Until next time, cheers.